Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fat to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast. I am Sean Mulroney, and I'm so glad that you are here. You really are, like I said, the best part of the Obesity Revolution. Follow me on all my social media. I am Sean Mulroney, and I really hope you enjoyed last week's episode with Tracy Dixon. Of course, she's in the, you know, health and the medical, you know, field as far as things are concerned. She knows how it is. You know, how the system, you know, has, you know, pretty much failed people that are obese and, you know, causing us, you know, of something that, you know, we can't control a lot of times and the stigmas that are facing it. And I am really excited about you listening to part two with Tracy Dixon. And if you remember last week, I ended on asking her, you know, she said about a lot of things about people that assume, you know, here's a person working out there, you know, they eat, you know what I'm saying? And they have a hard time, you know, losing the weight and they just can't do it. And I know how it is. And it's easy to want to give up, especially whenever you're not seeing the results, but even trauma that we face. And the last thing I said before we get in to this, this second part, I said to Tracy, you know, trauma. What do you think? I wanted to find out what she thought trauma, what part it played in people that are struggling with obesity, because she's been through some trauma. And as you heard her story just unfolding, you know, you heard that, you know, she went through and because of whenever she was younger, she had, you know, abuse in her life and she covered that up and decided that, hey, I'm going to put on this protective shield, you know, is that I'm going to put weight on and that won't happen to me again. So I thought I'd ask her, what part does trauma play in people that are struggling with obesity? So part two with Tracy Dixon, has the medical industry failed obese people? And you're going to get some answers. You're going to, you know, find some, you know, questions, but it's all about getting those answers and getting the solutions to those answers. So here we go, part two with Tracy Dixon. You ready? Let's go.
I think it's a significant contributor to obesity. Most of the people that I've talked to in our group specifically, but on a larger scale, I think it's a truism altogether that most obese people are obese because they're dealing with some form of trauma.
Yes.
I know that's certainly my story. I have my own trauma from childhood. I was molested as a child. I used food to hide myself. I didn't want to be seen by my, by my molester or anybody else of the male gender. I didn't want to be noticed. I didn't want to be seen. I didn't want to be thought of sexually. So I hid. I hid behind food. I hid behind body shaming techniques that would make me invisible to people who wanted to sexualize and objectify me. You know, and I think that's true of a lot of people.
That was your defense mechanism.
Obesity. It's self-protection and self-defense.
Well, you're exactly right.
That's
something that you just brought up right now that just sort of made me think. You said that it was a coping mechanism. Not only that, but it was a self-defense, you know, thing that just like, you know, what, you know, animals that have like a porcupine, You know, porcupine will, you know, go and they'll come up there, or a snake, you know, they'll coil up and hiss just to protect themselves. And you think about that. That's what we've done. And you said that you've done it. How many people have self-medicated because they wanted not to be desired? You know, me being molested, and it was an older boy in our neighborhood that that did that to me, because, you know, I do that. My fat tells a story. You know, everybody just automatically assumes, well, man, you did this, and go through that. So you said something that is very, very, you know, good, not necessarily good, but it's good that you brought it out, is that that kept you to where, okay, I'd rather be overweight, fat, obese than to be desired by that, because it totally stole my innocence. Mm-hmm. So you went, and that's a shame that a child isn't supposed to be thinking that way, Tracy.
I agree. I was 11 years old, you know, and while I was, because I was overweight to begin with, I also developed early.
Yeah.
You know, puberty early.
Yes.
I was the first in my class to grow up a little, as it were, you know, and started being noticed by older boys and older men.
And that happens whenever something that traumatic happens, that tends to happen because you're not supposed to. I mean, it's already opening up those things. And it's a shame, because that's never, I get fed. I get, it burns me up.
I understand. How it burns me up too.
How can people, I mean, I mean, you know, and think about, like I said, the challenges that you faced.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you've went through, I mean, going this way, and okay, I'm eating, and never was able to truly grow up, Tracy. Everything was gone.
Yeah, a lot of it. And, you know, I was a smart kid, and I knew it wasn't my fault. Unfortunately, the person that did this to me was also someone close to my family, and I didn't keep silent to protect that person. I did that to protect my family. You know, I didn't want them looking at this other person in my family differently, and I didn't want to strain the relationships between my parents and this other person, so I kept quiet.
You not out
of
any,
there was no sense of shame involved in it. I wasn't ashamed, but I was more concerned about my parents' feelings. So I didn't come forward and I didn't say anything. You know, I kept that burden on myself.
But isn't it a lot of responsibility, though, on an 11-year-old's shoulders?
It absolutely is. And the outcome of that is I spent my entire, you know, childhood, my teenage, my preteen and teenage years, hiding, pretending something didn't happen, or something that happened didn't happen, and, you know, trying to be unseen or unnoticed so that I didn't have to deal with the things that were going on. And that's hard. I mean, that's, and you look for ways to comfort yourself. And for me, that happened to be, you know, grape soda and Twinkies and sour cream and onion chips, you know, whatever made me feel better at the time to keep me from feeling angry or guilty or upset or hurt.
What would you say to your 11-year-old self if you, from today to now, would you have told, looking back on it, do you regret that? Do you wish you would have? I mean, how...
I don't. You know, I'd love to say I would have done things differently, but I probably wouldn't have, because that's who I am.
Okay.
I think one of the other things articles that come out of being overweight is that sense of empathy and heart of, I don't want to say heart of a servant necessarily, but you put others first.
Yeah, right. Well,
you know,
our good friend Rob Rudy says that. He goes, we didn't get obese by being, you know, selfish. We got obese by being selfless.
Right.
And we put everybody else's needs over ourselves.
You're exactly right. Rob is exactly right. You know, I put my family's needs ahead of my own. I didn't see that I had a need even, because I felt, you know, I felt like I was strong enough to take it. You know, it had happened. I couldn't do anything to change it. So why not just live my life and be who I am? You know, that was my approach to it. That's the way I dealt with it. And I wouldn't hurt my mom and dad for anything. I didn't want to put them through that, and I still wouldn't put them through that.
And that's a choice you shouldn't have to make.
Right. Right. Unfortunately, somebody else in the world didn't see it that way, and they made that choice for me.
I can't take it. I mean, it's sad. It's sick. It's demented. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know, adjective you want to put. I mean, but you had to do that at 11 years old to go down that path, which you didn't want to hurt your parents.
Right.
And like I said, I can understand it. I mean, I never saw it that way. You know, me, the reason I didn't tell is he threatened me that he would kill me and my family if I told.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, 6, 7 years old here. He was 16, 17 years old and would lure me in. And, you know, it changes your DNA.
It does.
It changes everything. And that's what I want, you know, what you're saying right now, Tracy. Going back to your 11-year-old self, seeing it, so you don't regret how you handled it. Am I correct in saying that?
I'm correct. You are correct.
Okay, so what would you say to your 11-year-old self?
I would probably say, you know what, you've got this. But make sure you're recognizing how you're coping with it. Are you making good choices for yourself? And are you... Are you making sure that you're maintaining your health despite this person? You know, show them that you're better than they are and that they can't hurt you.
Okay, that's good. You never blamed yourself. Am I correct in saying that?
I never.
Knew it wasn't your fault?
No. I was a precocious kid, Sean. I knew everything.
Yeah, and that's your saving grace right there. That's a good thing.
I have to say, I never blamed myself, but at the same time, I also knew I didn't want to go through it again. So I took steps, the only steps I knew as an 11-year-old to take, which was to make myself as invisible as possible. And I will tell you, you said something a few minutes ago, and I sort of laughed in my head a little bit, because my sister and I have a standing joke that, you know, we all have a spirit animal. You've heard that, right?
Yes,
Everybody has a spirit animal. And I look at all these people that want to be eagles, or their spirit animal is an eagle or a wolf, mm-hmm, or a lion or whatever. I always said my spirit animal is the hedgehog.
Mm.
You know, because it's tiny, it's round, it's cute, and it's got its own built-in self-defense system. If you want the world to go away, you just flip yourself inside out and there you go.
Wow.
So, you know,
that's something. So you,
I am a hedgehog. I am wholly designed to protect myself at all costs.
Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah. Wow. That's something, Tracy. I never thought about it. It's probably that most, you know, people are in that situation to where you blame, you know, and me, I was somebody that, you know, always went with things like me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any bitterness at all, because, you know, bitterness doesn't, you know,
it doesn't accomplish anything.
No, and bitterness, you know, the only thing it does is it, when you're bitter, that's the only thing that destroys its own container. You know what I'm saying?
It poisons you first.
Yes, it doesn't poison anybody else. And, mm-hmm, you know, you end up, you know, going out there. And like I said, that's what's made me who I am as far as accepting myself, what you said. You accept yourself. You didn't blame yourself. You have like that hedgehog, you know, mentality, mm-hmm, and that's your spirit animal, which that was like your, you know, that your camouflage, if you will, or somebody's not going to touch me now. Okay. You know, burn me once, shame on, you know, you burn me twice, shame on me. And you said, that's not going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, you know, over, you know, anybody's dead body, I'm not going to do that, because, you know, all these challenges. Okay, so it brought you here as we're coming, you know, down the wire right here, Tracy, which is so good for you to share your story. I mean, I you know, it blew me away on how you never blamed yourself. But what you did is you had coping mechanisms, which was, mm-hmm, your food. You know, why not? Because it's not going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not gonna, you know, in the long run, although we say, you know, things that we put in our body do affect us, but who, 11-year-old kid, who cares? I mean, I'm going to have, you know, sugar all day.
You don't think about those. You don't think about the consequences.
No.
It doesn't matter when you're 11.
No,
right?
You don't realize
what it's going to affect down the line. You don't understand that there are outcomes that are long-term consequences.
No, you don't, because, you know, and then you got into, you know, working in healthcare. And mm-hmm. there's challenges in the healthcare industry. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
What would you say? Yes. Why would you say is the big contributor to that? Why do you think there's so many challenges?
In healthcare itself, again, just to go back to the idea that everybody's biases matter. You know, healthcare providers, they have their own belief systems. They have their own biases against obesity, their own beliefs that, you know, you can just exercise it off, or you can just eat better and work out a little bit more and you'll take care of the problem. And it's not that simple. And as healthcare providers, I think they actually know that. They just don't understand how to address it, how to treat mm-hmm. it. Because one of the problems with our healthcare system today is our healthcare providers are answerable to insurance companies, and insurance companies look for outcomes so that they can increase profits.
Yes.
So we have healthcare providers who are trying to respond to patients in need, but also their payer systems to ensure that they can get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And, unfortunately, the two don't meet in the middle.
That's a shame.
If you understand what I mean.
Yes, yes.
You know, I don't want to get into all the problems with insurance companies trying to.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Ch-ch-chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oversee the practice of medicine, because that's a huge problem in and of itself, in my view.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, one of the larger things that we can address is talking about those biases on the part of an individual healthcare provider.
Yes.
Or looking at improving treatment plans, better understanding the diseases related to obesity. You know, there's a whole cabal of diseases that come with being overweight and obese, you know, up to and including lymphedema or type 2 diabetes.
PCOS.
Yes. Heart disease, endometriosis. You know, there's a whole litany of things that we look at separately.
Right.
You know, it's everything is looked at under a microscope individually, but we don't look at treating holistically. You know, because right now the medical industry's approach to these diseases is to treat individually, because they don't understand.
Right.
They don't understand what's triggering all these other things. You know, we have problems with inflammation that are related to all of these diseases.
Yes.
What are the underlying things? And, you know, we're starting to get a better sense of some of those triggers when you start looking at genetics. I'm not a geneticist, so I don't want to get into the finer points of that. But
genetics is a big point.
It's a big point. It's not the only point, but you know there are genetic links to obesity.
Absolutely.
And some of the diseases that are related to obesity are exacerbated, you know, if you have those genetic links in your family history.
Right. Right.
But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to minimize the fact that it's also environmental, and we as obese individuals that's a true responsibility to own up to that piece of it.
Yes.
You know, we contributed to the problem as well. We can't place all the blame on the medical professionals.
No,
or we can't place a blame on
health and fitness industry. Yeah.
Exactly.
We can't even
place all of the blame on those that inflicted trauma upon us, because a lot of it, you know, ultimately
they had it happen to them.
It's our bodies, and we own what we do with them. If we chose to do this to ourselves, we can choose to undo it. And I think that's the greater point to the obesity revolution, is taking ownership of all those mistakes that we've made and recognizing that ultimately we do have power to change outcomes. You know, while we're still alive and still standing, or still in our wheelchairs, as the case may be, we have the power to make changes. They may be small incremental changes.
Yes.
But they're changes, and everything we do to help ourselves is going to make the bigger difference, first and foremost, to our own sense of well-being. You know, nothing is as empowering as creating and effecting change for yourself.
Amen. That's so true, Tracy. Nothing better than being your own advocate.
Yeah, I mean, we all have limitations. I have issues with my knees. I would love to be in the gym 6 days a week, but my knees just don't, you know, they don't agree with me. So it's my job to take on the responsibility of doing what I can do despite that, because
yes,
I'm not limited by that one.
Right.
limitation.
Right.
There are other things I can do. If I can't be in the gym, I can be changing the way I eat, making better choices, getting rid of that sugar that I'm so addicted to. I understand that it's an addiction, and it's hard to break. It's probably harder to break than nicotine, because you have to have food.
I believe it. But what's some of the things you do to cope with the physical, emotional challenges that you face as being overweight?
So one of the things that I like to do when I'm getting really frustrated and upset, I do like to work out. I like to go get out in the pool and swim, or I like to ride a bike, because whenever you do something like that, you're releasing endorphins, you know, the feel good hormone, and it's empowering to feel that sense of freedom whenever you're working out and you understand how your body is functioning.
Sure.
You know that there's going to be pain that comes with it, but you do it anyway because the good outweighs the bad.
Yeah, you got to choose be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Go through pain to get out of pain type aspect.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, you know, my family means a lot to me. So I spend time with my family. My husband and I just went down for the weekend down to Monterey Bay and spent some time by the coast. So find things that rejuvenate you and invigorate you and sort of bring back, you know, all the positivity that you've.
That's good.
Need to replenish every once in a while.
That is so good, Tracy. Take care of yourself.
Yep. Know what makes you happy and employ those things. I love to read. So when I'm feeling really stressed and I don't want to interact with other people,
you read.
My husband's getting on my nerves, whatever. I pick up a book and I go read for escapism and just a sense of being somewhere else for a while where you don't have to deal with the problems. Yeah.
That's what Jess is, an avid reader. I mean, she'll read 6-7 books a week. You know what I mean? So,
yep. She's my twin then, because
yeah,
I'm the same way.
Yeah, she goes and that's where she disappears. I'm like, how can you read the same book over? It's like watching a movie over. That's what she says. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Like, it's like visiting with old friends. Yeah. You know them. Yeah. You know who they are. You know what they're going to do. Yeah. You know.
Well, each their own. Well, I mean, reading is me went way bye-bye a long time ago. I'd rather watch, you know, a comedy. So that helps me escape. Or funny. Sports. And my final thing, question, or almost, is that what would you like to see improve, you know, in the health, you know, care and treatment of people who have obesity and obesity-related disease? What do you want to see change, especially that you worked in this? Mm-hmm. What do you want to see change, Tracy?
I think we've already touched what I want to see in the healthcare industry. One of the other problems I think that I see that isn't being addressed or isn't being adequately addressed, I guess, is, you know, there are certain other industries that are, I don't want to say they're biased because that kind of intimates that there's some intentionality in it.
Yeah.
But, for example, airlines, people over a certain size, over a certain weight, have difficulty going anywhere.
Yeah.
Transportation is limited just because there isn't any accommodation for their size.
Yep.
And I feel like that is a form of prejudice.
It is. It is.
I understand that their reasoning is profits. I understand that they are driven by profits. But, you know, there is no standard size in any airline within the industry. So there isn't any dedicated size description. Seating is different between airlines, so there's no standardization. So people who are on the heavier side never know what to expect, never know how to plan, and they may find themselves, you know, having to pay for two seats, for example,
right.
Or not being able to fly at all because the accommodations are too restrictive.
Yes.
And the industry is too profit driven.
Yes.
So I would like to see some changes within industries of that type. You know, it's not just airlines. Restaurant seating can
restaurants, be hotels.
Hotel
yes.
accommodations. You're exactly right. There are, you know, I think these industries have to recognize that the population is there and it's large enough that they need to understand what they need to
correct.
Do to accommodate a significant portion of the population that they're losing profits on, frankly. You know, if you want to put
exactly.
it in terms of dollars and cents, put it to them that way.
Yes, yes.
You know, you're losing a significant portion of the population where obesity continues to rise by creating all of these blockades to access to your products and services. So, you know, I'd like to see some sort of change, whether it's industry driven or legislation even to standardize
yeah, we need to
so
do
people
that.
Understand
we need to.
Yes. that you know that these people are human too.
Yeah.
You know, we as obese people are human too. We deserve access to any you know service or product that is accessible to anybody else.
Yes.
In society. And it's not a question of fairness. It's a question of being morally right.
That's good.
For me.
To where if people are accommodated. You know what I'm saying? We don't need catered
mm-hmm.
to. We need accommodated.
Right.
We need accommodations for us to be able to get acclimated into
mm-hmm.
society so we can get better. You know, gyms. Think about gyms. Gyms don't fit people, you know, that are over 300 pounds, you know, let alone 250 pounds.
That's an excellent point. You know, a lot of machines aren't made for
nope.
anyone over 250, 275 pounds.
They don't have the space, you know.
Bicycles. I'm under 300 pounds, and I still have a problem finding a bicycle that is built
right.
for someone of my size.
Or if you find one, you're going to pay an arm and a leg.
Right.
Just like they do with the scales. You know, scales are $2,000 for a bariatric scale. Mm-hmm. But we got a livestock scale. We paid $250.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, you're paying livestock. You're okay. I can't get an MRI at a hospital, but I can go to the zoo and get an MRI.
And that is another point we didn't talk about with the medical and healthcare industry is, you know, the machines are out there to accommodate obese and overweight people. Hospitals don't invest in them.
Not at all.
Because their person is that is it isn't profitable. But how can it not be profitable if the obese and overweight population is rising?
Well, and that doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't make sense.
There isn't that much difference in pricing between a standard MRI machine and one rated for a higher weight patient.
No, well, but that's what they told us. They said, well, you did this to yourself. It feels like a form of punishment.
It is punishment,
right. But hey, how about this? On the other hand, you got these people that they got the metabolism of a hummingbird and they eat mm-hmm. as bad as an obese person. Do you assume they would mm-hmm. eat? But they're yep. praised. Man, you got the metabolism you hit the genetic lottery. Man, you can eat whatever you want to. Look at you. Yes. You have a hollow. But then they're praised, but we're yep. punished for them assuming that that's how we eat because the TV shows that portray that we mm-hmm. eat that way and 10,000 calories in front of us and bring the food in, that stage, which gets me so sick and irritated. You know, why mm-hmm. do they do – every show is based on that person, them or the producers ordering the food in and them eating while they're filming them to make it look disgusting.
I would love to have some of those producers come in my house for a week and watch because they would get to see, you know, every meal where my husband's yelling at me for wasting food. I don't eat that much.
Well, and I'd love to see the producers for the last, 36 days of me eating on carnivore. So mm-hmm. come here and check this out. You know what I mean? You do it. I can follow any meal plan, and there's more to it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's sickening, Tracy. Anyway, so this is good stuff. So my final thing to you is that you've been a member of Tor VIP, the Obesity Revolution VIP program for, coming up on a couple years. And what does the Obesity Revolution, what does it mean to you and how has it changed your life?
I think even being morbidly obese myself, I never really thought about a lot of the challenges that morbidly obese people face. I'm fortunate to have most of my health. My knees are starting to go, but that's been the worst of it for me. Aside from dealing just with the overall prejudices in the medical system. But just talking to other people in the group and understanding the limitations that they faced, not being able to fly, not being able to get out of the house, not being able to exercise because the gym equipment isn't rated for mm-hmm. them. Those are things that never really, came to mind whenever I thought about my situation personally. So, it's just given me a greater awareness of the prejudices out there and how much of a fight we have to fight for ourselves and to advocate for ourselves in order to be able to achieve things that almost everybody else in the population has the ability to access otherwise, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
I hadn't even thought about the gym thing, but there are certainly things in the gym that I go to that I avoid because, it looks like it's too difficult mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. It doesn't look like it would support, I would try to do. So yeah, I avoid those things. I'm embarrassed to say, and I shouldn't have to. That's the thing.
It is.
If I'm there to get healthier, to work out, to get stronger, to increase stamina, to increase endurance, and I can't access the things that are supposed to be there to help me do that, that's a problem.
It is a problem. It is.
So.
Well, Tracy, so I got this. Go ahead.
I was going to say, just in general, your question was, what does the obesity revolution mean to me? And for me, the group, the tour group, the tour VIP group, the obesity revolution, the people are what's the most
Amen.
Important to me. It's,
yes.
you know, it's a family.
It is.
It's a very strong support system. And, you know, it means everything to be able to hear the stories from other people who are struggling and to be able to, you know, provide my own insight and
yes.
feedback and to be able to help other people and encourage other people that I know are struggling and facing the same things that I'm facing. And that means everything. Just having that support and that sense of family.
And camaraderie. I mean, there really is a family, Tracy. I mean,
it is.
We have this, I mean, nobody's better than anybody. Nobody comes in, whether they come once, you know, a week, or they come once a month, or haven't been there in a while, everybody's
mm-hmm.
treated the same way, no matter what, because there's nobody bigger than life as far as thinking that we're all that in a bag of chips.
Right.
Where the ground is
You're
level.
Exactly right.
The ground is level wherever
and
we're at.
You will not meet a nicer group of people.
No.
Or a bigger-hearted group of people than the people that
yes.
I have met through the obesity revolution.
And everybody steps to the plate when somebody's hurting. We all
yes.
hurt. And
yes.
I love that, Tracy. And Tracy, as we close, I just want to let you know, thank you from the bottom of my heart on how you have come and stepped forward and done everything for us as far as being part, not only the tour VIP, but being part of the team, the inner, you know, team, to where we're getting everything ironed out, to where we're going to be able to help the multitudes, you know, the 24 to 30 million people in America that can't get out of their home, you know, the 650 million people worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to thank you, Tracy, for all the sacrifices that you've made, everything that you've done, from the bottom of my heart. And thank you for being part of the obesity revolution. So thank
well,
you.
Well, I am very happy to be a part of it. I'm thrilled beyond belief to be able to help and do my part. And I will say, we're just getting started, my friend.
Are.
We got a long way to
I
go,
know,
and
we
are
I
just
know.
Getting started.
I know. Tip of the iceberg, Tracy.
That's
Tip
right.
of the iceberg.
Look for more good things. They
yes.
are coming.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, on behalf of me, Tracy Dixon, and the rest of the Obesity Revolution, you know, you really are the best part of the Obesity Revolution, every one of you that are listening right now. And, you know, get healthy, stay healthy. And remember all these things, the biases that Tracy was talking about. Don't let anybody, you've been through trauma, there's help. And, you know, Tracy considers herself a hedgehog because, you know, that's her defense mechanism. And she had that and put that through there because the things that she went to get there. Because, and I know this, everyone that struggles with obesity, there's something that got you to where you're at. There's things that are hidden. And the best thing to do is to talk about it. Whenever you talk about it, it like kills it, because then you, instead of, you know, putting death to yourself, put life to it. And remember, you don't have to go through this alone. And until next time, I love every one of you. We got this. And don't let anybody, anywhere ever tell you can't. And stay away from the negative people, stay away from negative things, and listen, quit bullying yourself and hating yourself, because you got to live with yourself. I love you all. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.